Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back, folks. It's 13 after the hour. We're visiting with our good friend. We were just now visiting with our good friend, Doug Stives. Doug is a CPA. He is a partner at Kirchen & Company, which is one of the largest CPA firms in central New Jersey. He's a graduate of Lehigh University. And also, he is in charge of the tax department at Kirchen & Company. And he's been on the show with us quite a few times before. He's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He also is very active with the AICPA. He is their go-to guy when it comes to being interviewed by the media, including CNBC and all the major networks, also a lot of the major publications that you'll read. In fact, Doug, and by the way, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Tell us about what's going on this afternoon.
Big stuff for non-tax season. As you mentioned, I do a fair amount of CNBC and other stations during tax season, but today we have a special appearance at 5:40, that's Eastern time,
right?
This afternoon, 5:40 p.m., this is September the 25th. I'm going to do just a short segment on CNBC. It's a live call-in show. So, Jim, you stay away from the phone, will you, please?
I'm going to be right here. I've got it marked. I've got the phone number. I'm going to be calling in, and all I'm going to do is harass you.
Yeah, well, we've been real pleased with CNBC. I think they've come a long ways, and anybody listening that is a CNBC fan, I'm going to be on with Ted David, who's one of my favorite commentators up there. So we always have some fun.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. I'm looking forward to seeing your ugly mug on the television.
Thanks a lot. Whoever heard of having fun with a CPA, but we try.
That's right. And I kept trying to tell them you've got a face for radio, but they wouldn't listen to me.
Well, you'll see. You'll confirm that.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Doug, we've been talking, as you know, for the last several weeks, folks, we've been talking about financial statements. What we've been doing is we've been basically giving you a tour of the balance sheet, of the operating statement, which is also called the P&L or the statement of operations. And also we did a little bit on something called the statement of cash flows. We've talked about the notes to the financial statement. So we've been basically taking a financial statement, a fairly sophisticated financial statement tour, breaking it down into all the different segments so that you can understand better how to read and understand and manage your business more successfully with your financial statements. Now, I want to make one point that I make as often as I can, Doug, and that is you can't manage your financial statements if you don't have any. And so, please, if you're in small business and you don't have regular financial statements, please take the steps that is necessary to do that. In fact, put that at the very top of the list of if you are the owner, you're the where the buck stops. Please make sure that you start getting regular financial statements in your business.
And it's cheap and easy, Jim. A very simple software package. One that we like is QuickBooks. Another popular one is Peachtree.
That's the one we use.
These are less than $100 off the shelf, and not even a big PC required. You look on a box and find out what hardware is required. But these things are very user-friendly. You don't need to have accounting courses to drive them.
That's right. And if you can read, and I'm not even sure you have to count.
I'm not sure you have to know how to read.
Well, I think you have to be able to read, but you probably don't even have to count. I mean, literally, folks, you can literally, you can enter your orders. It manages your inventory. It manages so much information, and it has general ledger capability, which is the engine of the accounting package, which will create a financial statement for you.
Yeah, the one caution we need to throw out, though, Jim, is we're suggesting that people get with it and get some financial statements and do it the cheap way with some software. But some people I see come in here with something they've generated out of a QuickBooks program, and they have things that should be on the income statement over on the balance sheet. So you once in a while need to spring for a few bucks to have somebody guide you through it and straighten things out, clean it up.
There's no question about it. And folks, that's a very good point that I'd like to point out. And let me say this so it doesn't sound so self-serving for Doug, because you need every time a new person comes to me in my consulting business and talks to me about starting a small business, or they've got a new one that they're already operating and they need some help, one of the first things that I ask them, one of the very first questions I ask them is, who is your CPA? And if they don't have one, I say, would you like for me to find one for you? And they always say yes. And I literally stop at that moment and dial a number of a CPA that I, or two or three that I recommend, who are small business friendly CPAs. These are people who really have spent a lot of time with small business. They're willing to put the time into it, the extra time it takes, and I get them a CPA right away. And folks, this doesn't mean that you're going to have a $1,000 bill a month for your CPA. I mean, the truth is, Doug, and I'm not just saying this because you're here.
Oh, your check's in the mail, Jim. You're there already.
I'll tell you, the one of the best investments you'll make, especially when you see how little it really costs, is the expense that you'll pay for a CPA, because they can really help you.
Well, you're really right on. I think we'll quit while we're ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, that's just from experience, folks, and I recommend that, once you get established with a CPA and you've got a small business and you've got your computer package on your computer and you're operating it, you know, you can probably get by with maybe a quarterly visit, just an hour, maybe just to have them come over. You go over there for once a quarter. If you've got a little bitty business, I'm talking about a fairly small one, or if you've got could have a larger business, but you've got a really good accounting person, a bookkeeper in your organization.
You bring up another excellent point, as we're both pushing here for people to familiarize themselves with CPAs and to use them. But for things like we're talking about this morning, to get a general ledger and a financial statement package installed, you frankly don't need a CPA. We have three or four paraprofessionals in our firm, say three or four because a couple are part-time, that we send out to the client's location. They'll buy the software on the way, if you like, stick it on your machine, work out the wrinkles, and as Jim suggests, come in maybe as little as once or twice a year, or if you are computer literate, you dump the stuff off on a disk and bring it to us, and we'll manipulate it right here in our office. And the cost is certainly not prohibitive. Of course, again, that's a self-serving comment.
Well, but the thing to point out there, and this is what I've mentioned several times on the show before, is that I introduce my clients, Doug, to the principal that I know in that firm that I recommend, and I tell them, now he's probably or she's probably going to hand you over to one of their less expensive folks, because that's the person you really need to spend time with right now, and it'll save you a lot of money.
I'm with you.
All right. Doug, stay with us. Folks, we're going to take a break. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Doug Stives. All right. We're back, folks. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Doug Stives, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and a member of our Brain Trust. And one of the things that I want to point out, Doug, before we get off this subject, then we are going to move on to cash and accrual. Folks, I just wanted to say that I'm encouraging you to, if you don't have a CPA firm to work with, I'm encouraging you, if you're in business, to get one. And the way I want to lay this out for you is like this. A CPA firm is just another important service that your business needs, like you need trucks to deliver your products, like you need a computer to manage your business. If you need a new computer, you're not going to say, oh, my God, it's too expensive, I'm not going to even go check on it. You're going to go down to the computer store, or you're going to look in the catalog or whatever, and you're going to check on the price. You're going to find out what kind of a deal you can get. When you need a CPA, which if you don't have one, I'm recommending that you need one, go to someone that you've been referred to and ask them what would be the cost. Be specific. Say, I want to know, what's it going to cost me to get what I need? And they'll ask you some questions, and they'll find out what you need, and then they'll give you an estimate, won't they, Doug?
Well, in most cases, yes. And you bring up, I think, a very important question. Our industry, our profession, sometimes gets some bad raps, but occasionally it's very justified. And the point I'll make is, if you do go to see somebody for the first time, or for that matter, if you've been using a CPA or some other type of accountant, and you're just not getting the service. You know, you're getting thrown into voicemail and 3 days to get a call back, or when you're in the office, you ask the guy questions and he says, oh, I don't have time. He's looking at his watch, he or she. Then I strongly recommend, as you would do with any professional, or as Jim says, any supplier, try somebody else.
Go somewhere else.
Get out of there. And it's amazing to me. I've had people come in here, they've used a CPA firm in another area of the state that they've been there for 20 years and they've been getting, frankly, miserable service and being overcharged. Don't put up with that.
That's right. I agree. And folks, when I said they would give you an estimate, that is what exactly what they'll do. In other words, they'll say, well, you know, to set you up, we don't have to do anything on a monthly basis. We'll set you up. It'll probably cost you a couple hundred bucks to start with. And then, you know, after that, maybe it'll cost you, you know, so much a visit, or I'll hand you off to my associate here, and their hourly rate is so much, so and so forth, and that'll give you an idea. But I recommend that that you make sure that the accounting help from a CPA firm becomes part of your operation. Doug, let's move over and talk about something that ties in with our previous discussions of the operating statements and the balance sheets, the financial statements of your business, and that is the difference between cash and accrual accounting.
Okay. Very basic. Anyone out there who's had an accounting course, you're going to smile because you probably remember the first week or two, the instructor or professor stood up there and talked about cash versus accrual. Now let's stop just for a second, Jim, and make sure that everybody understands when we say cash basis accounting, that doesn't mean green stuff. That doesn't mean, you know, the cash that you're not telling Uncle Sam about or slipping to somebody under the table. We'll leave it at that. When we say cash basis accounting, there are two bases of accounting. There's cash basis and there's accrual basis. We say cash basis, this is what I sometimes call the current basis. The money that actually has come in represents your sales or revenue. The deposit you make in the bank today on a cash basis of accounting is your sale. And the money that you pay out, the checks you write today for payroll, or the fee that you pay to your accountant, or the advertising check that you write today, whatever it might be, on a cash basis of accounting, you only write up an expense. You only charge the expense to your income on the actual day that you spend the money. You disperse it from your checkbook. Now, freeze that for a minute and cross over the bridge to accrual. Accrual basis accounting is the classic. It's the real situation. And just to give you some buzzwords there, anybody that knows about a financial statement knows that you have accounts receivable. In other words, goods that you've shipped or services that you've sold but you haven't collected from your customer or your client yet. That's an account receivable. But you only have accounts receivable in accrual basis accounting. On a cash basis, you wouldn't have accounts receivable. You'd say, well, yes, I sold these products today, but my customer's not going to pay me for 10 or maybe 30 days or longer. You don't record that as a sale on cash basis accounting. You would set it up in receivables and record it as a sale on accrual basis accounting. On the outflow on accrual, you would put things into accounts payable as the goods are delivered or the services are rendered. And then, of course, when you pay the vendor or you pay for the service, you'd remove it from payables. But the point is you charge the expense as soon as it's incurred. So there's a great deal of confusion, and there's a major difference. Just to finish up, most small businesses use the cash basis for tax reporting.
Yeah. Doug, stand by. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Doug to flesh this out a little bit more and clear up a couple of questions that I have about this. Stay with us. 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. All right, welcome back, heroes. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives. He's with Kirchen & Company. He's one of the partners of the CPA firm called Kirchen & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey. And Doug is very active with the AICPA, the national organization, as well as the New Jersey organization. And he has been working with me, as you know, for quite some weeks now on helping you to understand the financial aspects of your business. And Doug, we were just talking about cash and accounting. One of the things that I'd like to do now is to set up a little scenario. Small business owners, if you said, okay, give me a profile, what is the profile of a typical small business out there? I would say, okay, you're talking about somebody that does a few hundred thousand, maybe a million or so a year in sales, and they are organized as a subchapter S corporation, or as opposed to a C corporation. They are a subchapter S corporation. Now, that business operates in the accrual accounting world and the cash accounting world. In their year, in a year of business, they have to operate in both of those dimensions, and that's the reason why, Doug, I wanted us to talk about this so that maybe we can help them better understand what the differences are and why they have to operate in both of them. Now, when they operate during the year, during the month, quarter, the year, and they're getting their operating statements. When they get the operating statements that spit out of or their financial statements that their CPA provides them or their accounting package provides them, that is typically accrual accounting, isn't it?
That is the classic accounting system, yes.
Right. Now, tell us, I was mentioning a minute ago, in accrual accounting, and jump out of here any time, Doug, in accrual accounting, if you make a sale, you post the sale, but even if you haven't collected the money, you post the sale, but you also post accounts to accounts receivable.
Right, because you've had a transaction. That's your point. In accrual accounting basis, the merchandise has walked out the door, or the service has been rendered.
And it doesn't matter whether you've collected the money or not for accounting purposes.
Right. Well, let's stop there. If you do, it's a COD situation, then it does go directly into cash, and you record the sale at the same time.
Right.
But the typical deal is you've got an accounts receivable offset against the sale, and that accounts receivable is then removed or reduced when you make the cash collection from the customer or client.
Now, let's back up a minute. Let's say that this profile company I'm talking about is a retail business that extends no credit. Every time someone makes a purchase, you have the money before they leave the building, and you have no account relationship or terms with your suppliers. Everything that you own in that store is paid for, and you don't and you have no terms. When something's delivered, you write a check for it at that moment. If you could live in that world, you could live in cash accounting, couldn't you?
Well, your cash and your accounting would be identical in that hypothetical situation, Jim.
You could live all your whole life, you could operate your whole life in a cash accounting dimension. But because businesses establish relationships with vendors and they give you 30 days to pay, you'd receive the merchandise and you pay them in 30 days, or you extend credit to someone, they buy from you, they take the product, and then they pay you in 30 days. That scenario gives rise to accrual accounting. Am I correct?
Well, what accrual accounting is supposed to do, and does it if you run it correctly, is tell you exactly what's going on. Because if you're not recording a sale until you collect on it, well, then you've understated your sales.
And therein lies the management problem, isn't it?
Well,
if you aren't managing it with accrual, you aren't managing your finances properly.
Well, I think what we're trying to say, Jim, is that a cash basis financial statement doesn't give you very valuable information in terms of managing your company.
Right. All right. Because it doesn't reflect all of the activity of your company.
Right. Now, we have to caution people, though, is you can put together an accrual basis statement that says you're going gangbusters, but then you can't pay your bills at the end of the week because you don't have any cash because you're not managing your receivables.
Right. Exactly. And that's a whole other story that we need to get into at some point, because, in fact, that's one thing that I've spent a good bit of time on before, Doug, on the show, and that's helping people understand what happens when they get upside down with regard to their AR and their AP.
Right.
Their accounts receivable and their accounts payable.
Well, that's a cash management topic.
That's exactly right, which is not what we're talking about right now primarily. And now, earlier, a minute ago, I said that small business owners, this profile company I'm talking about, operates in both dimensions, accrual and cash. During the year, as you manage your business, you operate on an accrual basis through your statements. But this S corporation that I'm talking about, we've come to the end of the year, Doug. Now, what do we have to do to make sure that all the taxes are accounted for and paid?
Okay, well, when you prepare your tax return, and again, you're saying a corporation, so the corporation prepares its own tax return, known as a Form 1120S for an S corporation. And in most cases, I want to emphasize, not in all cases, but in most cases, it's going to be advantageous to flip back to your cash basis of accounting for tax reporting purposes, because very simply, under the cash basis, you're not paying tax. You're not picking up as income those sales that you've made but haven't collected from the customer on yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the converse is also true, though, Jim, is on cash basis, on tax purposes, you cannot deduct any expenses that you actually haven't dispersed cash for.
So the challenge, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. There's the music. I want to finish up on this subject, folks, when we come back. And then we're going to talk about how to understand the value of your company with regard to your balance sheet and your financial statement, other financial statements. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Doug Stives. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back, folks. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives. He's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show. He's the tax partner, the tax manager of Kirchen & Company, and one of the partners in that firm has been for a long time. And Doug does a good job helping us to understand the accounting aspect and the financial aspect of your small business. And Doug, we've been talking about accrual versus accounting, and one of the things that
accrual versus cash.
I mean, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Accrual versus cash, and you know that's one of the toughest things when I work with folks. One of the toughest things that small business owners have is to understand the difference in cash and accounting.
Well, I'll tell you what happens. I have some people here who, don't publicize this, but have four-year college degrees, and they get bogged down every once in a while trying to convert from one to the other.
Yep. Well, I've had them come in here, and they're out of cash, and yet they've got their financial statements, and the financial statement shows they're making a profit, and they think they can spend that money.
Yep, or the other way.
They just don't understand.
Yeah, right,
or the other way around.
The other way around.
Yeah, they got too much cash,
mm-hmm.
and they're losing their rear end, and mm-hmm. they're out there spending money like crazy.
Well, I'll give you another sidebar. If you're not doing your statements accurately, you're just guessing at what receivables are, or more typically guessing at what inventory is, then you can have accrual statements that look beautiful, but they're worthless.
That's right, yeah. And that's the reason why, folks, you need some professional assistance from time to time with a CPA. But let's go back to some other scenarios about using cash in accrual accounting. One of the things I was mentioning a minute ago is that typically small businesses will operate during the year in an accrual basis, and then their CPA, whoever does their year-end return and their tax return, will convert that to a cash basis, and that's largely to your advantage if you and your CPA determine that that's what you need to do. But Doug, you can actually, and you helped me understand this a little bit better earlier, you can actually be a small business and stay and remain on the accrual basis for tax purposes, can't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Any type of entity can make the election to go to an accrual basis. Now,
even a non-incorporated company.
Yeah, I was mentioning earlier to Jim that we have a sole proprietor. He reports on what we call a Schedule C as part of his regular Form 1040 income tax return. And because he gets clumps of money in advance, he does long-term contracts. And in order to do that, he gets people to fund the thing up front. Reason for that is that sometimes his results don't make the client real happy. So he's smart enough to get, $50,000 or $100,000 up front for a three-year contract. Then he does the work, and what we do is we elect a accrual basis accounting for him, even though he's a sole proprietor. So he doesn't have to pay tax on those clumps of money that come in advance. We carry them on the balance sheet as deferred income, effectively, and we recognize the income if it's a 36-month contract, 1/36 each month.
Yeah.
And that way, at the end of the year, he only has to pay tax on the work he's completed, which is accrual basis allowed. Now, we've got to make one comment, Jim. You can't flip-flop back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, this year we'll go accrual, next year we'll
right.
go cash. You can with IRS permission, but that's the fastest way I know to have them come take a look at you.
Absolutely. Now, you can change at some point in time, but
yes.
you just don't need to be flipping, flopping back and forth, as you say.
Well, in general, you can go from cash to accrual without permission. Just, if in 1997 you were cash and in 1998 you want to flip over to accrual, you can do that one-time change and just put it on your tax return and not have to report it. But, if you decide you want to come back to cash, it's going to be very difficult.
Right. But typically, as we said, most small business owners, and as I said, my little profile company that I'm talking about, the ones that I see the most in my business are sub-S corporations, and they operate their business during the year properly with accrual accounting, and then at the end of the year, their CPA converts that, or whoever does their tax returns, converts that into cash, which means that any sales that they have made that they have not received the money on doesn't go on that year's tax return, right?
Right. You don't have to pay tax on it until you have the cash in hand.
But also, any expenses, it works in the reverse on expenses.
Sure, right.
You can't deduct things that
right.
you haven't paid for.
Right, and we go to the mat with people that all the time. They come in here, I'll have people come in January this year, And they say, well, I had a whole bunch of bills in December. And, of course, some of them get cute, and they're writing checks the end of January or into February, still dating them in December.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of doctor clients, and we tease some of them. We think there's actually a course in medical school that teaches you to fold back your checks at the end of December, keep dating your checks in December. Be careful with that. If the IRS catches you doing that, and they're going to have you on their little red list for quite a while.
Yeah, and that's the last thing in the world you want to do, folks, is be on the IRS red list. They are maybe they are a little kinder and a little bit gentler than they used to be, but not much.
And I don't want to see any of the people that are listening to your show on C-SPAN, Jim.
Exactly right. And you know, and of course, Doug, being the tax manager of the tax department of Kirchner & Company, you see a lot of that, don't you?
Yes.
Not C-SPAN, but you see a lot of the IRS.
Okay. I thought you were talking about holding back checks and
no.
Moving things.
Oh, well, maybe that too.
We deal with the IRS pretty regularly. I have to say, a little bit off topic, but the number of examinations face-to-face are way off. They're just simply not doing that many examinations anymore.
Well, maybe some of the bad press they've got has pulled them back a little bit.
No, they're using computers and doing more by mail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've read a computer and 800 number. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. It's 50 after the hour. Stay with us. Doug and I will be right back. All right, folks, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate your business. As you know, we're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and a member of our Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Folks, Doug has been with us every week talking about your accounting and financial matters in your business, and we're going to give him a break. He's going to be doing some traveling over the next 3 weeks or so, but coming up in about 3 weeks, we're going to have Doug back on the show, getting back a little bit back on schedule again, and he's going to be calling us. We're going to be talking to him from a conference in Washington, D.C., where he will be down there. It's the AICPA's National Tax Conference. Is that right, Doug?
Yes, right. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Oh, yeah. It takes your breath away. But seriously, folks, one of the things Doug is going to be doing the next time he's on the show, he's going to be here, and he's probably going to be bringing a national tax expert on what's happening with the current laws. And to help you, we're going to be talking about how to help you get prepared for your to whatever degree you can make changes to the 98, to your 98 taxes, and get prepared for what you need to do for 99. And so that's very important for your small business. And so that's going to be coming up in about a month or so. Doug, let's talk about what your firm is doing to help your clients with Y2K.
Well, it certainly has some people in a panic. But what we're doing in our firm, Jim, is I've got a couple of my computer gurus who will go out to a client and slip a disk in their computer. And believe me, I don't understand what they're doing, but in usually less than 15 minutes, they can tell you whether you're up to speed or not. In layman's terms, the way they've explained it to me is they basically make your machine believe that it's now 2000 by changing the date.
They force the date, basically.
Force the date, basically. Shut the thing down, turn it on. And if it doesn't come up, well, then it's not Y2K adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we're finding is your machine may be just fine, but your software isn't going to work. Well, that's easy. You just throw the disk out and get some more software.
Right. That's upsetting. I don't know how many other dinosaurs there are out there like me, but I've got a couple of programs that I just love.
Yep.
And I'm holding out. In fact, my new computer really doesn't like to run one of them that I have, and it's just so friendly. It's just like an old shirt.
Well,
and I just don't want to get rid of it, but I know it's not Y2K compliant.
Jim, I'm an optimist, and you know, we can finish on a high note today, is that what I plan to do myself, I have a compact Presario computer sitting home. I bought it in 1996, which means it's probably not Y2K. I really don't care, because what I'm just going to do is phase that thing out and junk the processor next year, at the end of 1999, get a brand new one. I'll keep the screen, probably use the printer as a backup. And, you know, I think the caution we want to give to people is don't spend thousands of dollars with some computer guru to monkey with your machine. Maybe just phase it out and get a new one.
Well, and you know, some of the components of those computers, of those CPUs that you're going to chunk, could still be viable. I mean, it's possible that you might want to hang on to the hard drive. You might want to hang on to the modem, or maybe a video card or something like that. Those may be okay.
Well, except prices are going down so fast that you give it another year and the prices are going to be even less. And, you know, we've just found that sometimes it's just easier to junk and start over than preserve.
No question about it. I guess the point I was making is sometimes you can keep them as backups.
Sure.
That's
sure.
One of the things that I've done. I've got a little graveyard out here, a little junkyard in the back of my office for those kinds of things. Doug, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate your time. You've done a good job as always. Have a good trip, those two or three trips you're going to make, and looking forward to having you back with us.
We'll see you in 4 weeks.
Okay, sounds good, Doug. Bye-bye. All right, folks, that's Doug Stives. He's with Kirchen & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey, and really appreciate the effort he makes to help you understand, help you and I understand better how to manage our business financially. Right now, I want to wrap it up. I've got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.